Reading from 1 Corinthians 11, beginning at verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Those who are able, let us kneel as we pray.
Good morning in Jesus' name. Greetings. It's good to have each one of you in divine presence here, worshiping the Lord and Savior. I preached two Sunday evenings ago on a theme of remembering, and there we determined to remember Lot's wife, a command that Jesus gave us, that we would remember Lot's wife. And this morning, and I hinted around two Sunday evenings ago that there might be some more sermons coming on this theme of remembrance. And Jesus not only told us to remember Lot's wife, he actually told us to remember himself. And that is our desire this morning. I tried to shake this off. I tried to put this off for the past several weeks because it's quite simple and it's not sophisticated, it's not deep. And I realize hundreds of sermons are and can be preached on the life of Jesus. But this morning, this is a quick overview. It's where I felt led to go, and I tried to go elsewhere, and I just could not. And I needed some confirmation. And lo and behold, it came as we sang hymns this morning. This one still brings tears to my eyes, but that's good. That's okay. The 690 we sang, and that's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about our Savior, first of all. And then 703, that made me feel like I didn't really need to preach this sermon. 703 outlines where we're at this morning. Jesus Christ, preexistent. He came from the realms of light above. And it goes on down through there and talks about his daily ministry, and it talks about Gethsemane, and it goes on there about death's dark door, and then the Lord of life and liberty, the resurrection. It goes through it all. And so, right there's the sermon in number 703. Praise God for where we're at this morning as the Spirit has his way. As we considered remembering Lot's wife, we were remembering the pitfall of having one's heart stuck on the worthless junk of this world. It cost Lot's wife her life. I just review that a little bit because most of you weren't here. But Lot's wife looked back when she was told not to. She had to have looked back because of where her heart was. And it was on the worthless trash that she could never take with her. I realized maybe it was also on family. But he that does not deny even family members for Jesus Christ, the Bible makes it very plain, is not worthy to follow him. She disobeyed because of where her heart was, and it cost her her life. Remember, Jesus asked a question, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And so today's sermon, remembering Jesus. Number one, this morning, we want to remember Jesus' eternal existence. No, he did not begin in Bethlehem. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 says, let us make man in our image. I firmly believe that Jesus was present in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Let us, the Holy Trinity, the triune Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, said, let us make man in our image. And we have that thought reinforced in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Get this, all things were made by him and for him. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And then we consider Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. For by him, that is Jesus Christ, by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him, and there's that phrase, and for him. And so it's very clear. Jesus pre-existed before he became a human, before he took on human flesh. Jesus Christ in the beginning with God the Father in creation. Number two this morning, remember Jesus' incarnation. Isaiah talked about it. Isaiah predicted it in chapter 7 and verse 14. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel meaning God with us. And so it was prophesied over and over in the Old Testament, and this is one of the examples. Remember Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And so Jesus was born as a babe in Bethlehem. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 7 to 11. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Number three this morning, remembering Jesus at age 12. Still in Luke chapter 2, verses 41 to 49. His parents went to the Jerusalem. They went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the Jews, after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, they returned, and child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother, they didn't know it. They just assumed he was along a larger group of people than just Jesus and Joseph and Mary, and so they thought he was among the group. And they went a day's journey, not knowing that he was not with them. And then they ended up seeking him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they did not find him, they turned back. And for 3 days, this 12-year-old is being searched for, and they're not sure where he's at. And when they found him, they found him sitting in the midst of the doctors, verse 46, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. And his parents were amazed, and they said, "Well, son, why have you dealt like this for us? We've been mourning. We've been grieving. Where have you been? We've been sorrowing." And he said unto them, "How is it?" And Jesus was about his Father's business, but he also was subject to earthly parents, almost like attention. But he did it perfectly. But he said, "How is it that you sought me? Did you not understand that I must be about my Father's business?" Age 12. Remembering Jesus at age 12. So we remember Jesus eternal existence, and we remember Jesus' incarnation, and we remember Jesus at age 12. Going on in Luke chapter 3, we have our fourth point in Jesus' existence, remembering Jesus' baptism. And I'll just read two verses there, Luke chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. I lost my place. I'll get back to it. Luke chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. "Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." We associate baptism with repentance, and I think we should. And I hope we associate repentance with tears, godly sorrow for sin that changes our life, that turns us around. Jesus had no sin, and yet Jesus submitted to his cousin John and said, "You baptize me too." And John's like, "I have need to be baptized by you." But Jesus wanted it to be so, and so he allowed John to baptize him. So we have Jesus' example, and we have that beautiful account of the dove coming upon him. And that voice from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." Fifthly, this morning, we want to remember Jesus' temptation. I'm not going to read these verses in Luke chapter 4. As you continue here in Jesus' earthly life, you get to Luke chapter 4 and you have the temptation in the wilderness. Jesus had gone 40 days without eating. And the devil came to him and gave him a threefold temptation. The point I'd like to make this morning is that in all three of these phases of temptation, Jesus used Scripture. He stood strong and firm and was not shaken because he stood on the Word of God. He stood on Scripture. And not only that, he had to know the Word of God. So what an example to us today that we would know what the Word says and that we would skillfully, by the Holy Spirit's power, know how to apply it to our various circumstances and temptations and trials. But Jesus had victory. And you and I can have victory when we know the Word of God and when we use the Word of God, when we apply the Word of God. when we love the Word of God, when we love the truth, and we make it part of our everyday life. So we will do well to remember Jesus' example here in his temptation in the wilderness, knowing the Scripture and applying the Scripture to all situations that we find ourselves in. Number six, remembering Jesus' ministry. And like I said before, I realize there needs to be hundreds and hundreds of sermons preached on the life of Jesus and his ministry. But in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And so Jesus would go from this point and continue over 3 years, and this is what he would do. Jesus was all about people. And too often people annoy me and I want to get away from them. Shame on me. We don't like interruptions, do we? Jesus was quite often interrupted. He was on his way to someone's house where someone needed his touch or else they would die, and a woman grabs the hem of his garment. Remember that? He was interrupted quite often. But what was he here for? He was here for people. Jesus was here on this earth to heal people, to feed them, to comfort them, to teach them, especially how to treat people. And when it comes to treating people, I believe this is the foundation of our Christianity. I believe it is the foundation of our Christian experience. And I believe this will have a lot to do with the Day of Judgment. How I treated you, how you treated me, how you treated your neighbor, how you treated those who were misusing you, those who were frustrating you, how they were treated. Luke chapter 6, verses 27 to 31. Jesus teaching, but I say unto you, hear. I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them no more. Is that how we live? Is that how I live? Did Jesus mean it? Did Jesus ever not mean it? And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye likewise. Far too often, I believe Christians, including this one, try to forget rather than remember these teachings of Jesus, these kingdom teachings, these teachings that are supposed to guide our Christian life in our relationship with other people. Jesus was all about people. Remember Jesus' teachings. Remember Jesus in his earthly ministry saying, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Luke 10:58. Remember Jesus saying, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost, people. People like you and I bump into every day. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Does that ring a bell? That was you. And that was me. That was every one of you here this morning. It was every one of you listening and watching. It's also every one of those neighbors, and it's also every one of those people. It's the doctor that you still haven't witnessed to. It's the dentist. When you have that opportunity to close your mouth and form words, and sometimes you just can't wait to be able to do that. A word of witness. But it goes on said. And people are getting closer and closer to eternity without Jesus Christ. Number 7 this morning. Remembering Jesus' death on the cross. We remember Jesus' prayer in the garden. Father, if thou be willing, let this cup pass from me. We can't comprehend this morning how bitter that cup was. How difficult it was to swallow that cup. He would pray that prayer. If you'd be willing, Lord, God, my Father, let it pass from me. But he wasn't done praying. And he continued that prayer by saying, nevertheless, it's not my will. It's yours that must be done. It's your will that must be done. Earlier, Jesus said, and remember this, he said this earlier, he said, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock, to scourge, and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. John chapter 19, verse 1 says, Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. A cruel, excruciating, painful whipping. The Roman flagellum was a whip split into several strips into which sharp bones were embedded so that they would cut into the flesh of the victim. Bits of flesh were actually torn away. It wasn't just blood, it was flesh. The prophet Isaiah has something to say about this. Chapter 53. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Isaiah also says in verse 50, verse 6, I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that pluck off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. And Isaiah adds in chapter 52, verse 14, as many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Our Savior, first of all, number 690. Remember the mockery. Remember the mocking that Jesus received. John chapter 19, verses 2 and 3, and the soldiers platted a crown of thorns, and they put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe, and they said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they smote him with their hands. Mockery and more physical abuse. That crown of thorns wasn't just mockery, it was mockery. But it was also pain. Remember Jesus' crucifixion? He asked us to. The bread and the cup. Remember Jesus' crucifixion, nasty, thick spikes driven through hands and feet. Luke chapter 23, verse 33 says, "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary," Calvary, "there they crucified him." Had it not been for Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, my soul would be forever lost. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 45, it says, "Now from the sixth hour," Jesus is on the cross at this point. The nails have been driven. The beating has taken place. The mockery has taken place. "And now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour." This was high noon. This was 12 p.m. It was supernatural that there was darkness upon the earth. And in verse 46, about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Jesus was alone. He was always part of the triune Godhead, and now he is alone. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Jesus was made sin for us. He took our sins upon him. He bore them in his body on the tree, it says in Peter. And because of that, God the Father, in all his holiness, could not be present. And so Jesus cries out, "My God, my God." He had never experienced this. Yes, he came in the incarnation and became a man. And there's a term that is very right. It is the term the God-man. Jesus Christ retained 100% God. And he was also 100% human being. And God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Oh, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I'm not sure what point we're at. Maybe number 8. Remember Jesus' burial. I just mentioned it. Isaiah mentioned it in chapter 53. That he would be buried with the rich. Joseph of Arimathea, he was a rich man. He was a disciple of Jesus. And Nicodemus, who first came to Jesus by night, they saw to it that Jesus' body was received off the cross and wrapped in clean linen and put in a tomb that had never seen a man before. It was Joseph of Arimathea's brand new tomb. And so these blessed disciples took care of burying Jesus. And then around number 10 this morning, remember Jesus' resurrection. Matthew chapter 28, verse 6 says, "He is not here, for he is risen. Come, see the place where he used to lay. This place is empty." It's empty. There's no one there. The grave clothes are nice and folded in their lair, and he's not. And the stone, hallelujah, was rolled away. Jesus Christ arose. First Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Verses 20 to 22 of that resurrection chapter, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Jesus' resurrection. 11th this morning, Jesus is coming again. Remember, Jesus is coming again. We had a little bit of that in the Sunday school lesson. Looking for the Son. After turning away from idols to the true God there in the Sunday school lesson, and then looking for the coming of the Son. John chapter 14, verses 1 to 3, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And they which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus rose from the grave. He was crucified at Calvary. He was buried. He rose from the grave, and he is coming again. He is coming again. Acts chapter 1:11, while you men of Galilee stand gazing into the heavens, this same Jesus that you have seen go, in like manner he's going to come again. And he is coming. Are we looking for him? Do we live life in such a way that we're actually looking for Jesus to come back to the degree that we should? Or would we have to confess this morning that this world has us all blindfolded and all sidetracked? Let's be looking for Jesus. Because one of my favorite scriptures says, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Without sin, it's been forgiven. It's been removed as far as the east is from the west. Unto salvation, Jesus Christ, the Savior of fallen man. Our desire is to lift him up this morning, that he might draw all men unto him, and that the Heavenly Father might receive glory. I want to share a little bit of something else this morning yet. There are some examples in Scripture of unpleasant memories. Unpleasant remembrances. One was Peter. One was Peter, Matthew chapter 26. Peter was a bold man. He was a courageous man. He was one of the disciples. He wanted above all else to be faithful to his master and Lord Jesus Christ. He was pretty outspoken. He was pretty bold. He said some things pretty quickly. Matthew chapter 26, 31 to 35, "Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto you, that this night, before that rooster crows, before that bird crows, you're going to deny me three times. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples." Well, Matthew chapter 26 is a long chapter. You might have to turn your Bible a page if you're with me here. Verses 69 to 75. "Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was going out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him that they that stood by, and said to Peter, Surely thou art also one of them. Thy speech betrayeth thee. The way you talk, we know who you are. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And then what happened? Immediately, the old rooster crew, he crowed. And here's what Peter remembered. In verse 75 of Matthew 26, Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Now Luke says that the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Can you imagine that look? A look of sorrow, a look of hurt, and yet I believe that look had compassion. And Peter could not forget that look that Jesus gave him. Be careful. I must be careful that we never deny Jesus, that we never deny his words, that we never deny his gospel before men. We don't want that unpleasant remembrance of there's that moment where I denied Jesus. Peter wept bitterly with this remembrance. Another example in Scripture of someone who had a very frustrating, painful remembrance was in Luke chapter 16. You have there the rich man and the Lazarus. And the point here isn't that every rich man falls into this category. And the point here isn't that every poor man falls into this category of Lazarus. But the fact of it is, this rich man was selfish and ungodly and could have cared less about, he could not have cared any less about his fellow man. And at the same time, Lazarus, the poor man in this example, was a godly, God-fearing, humble man. We have that account in Luke 16, 19 to 31. Look at verse 25, or listen to it. Abraham said, Son, referring to the rich man who hath lifted up his eyes in hell and in torment, he said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things. Remember, you had your selfish day. And likewise, Lazarus, evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Remember, son, in your lifetime you received the good things and you wouldn't even share them with a beggar at your gate. Remember, son. The tables have been turned. And now there's a great gulf fixed. And now you cannot go from one to the other as you would desire to. And then this rich man remembered something else. He remembered that he had five brothers back home, and he must have remembered that they were living the same selfish, ungodly lifestyle that he was living. And he knew where his life, he knew where his own godly, sinful lifestyle put him. And it's that terrible that he doesn't want his brothers to come there and be with him in that torment. And so he remembers them. And he's wondering if a word could be shared with them. But the point is made here in this scripture in Luke 16 that if we do not obey the word of God, if we do not receive the word of God, neither will we be convinced if there is a miracle. It's the Bible. It's the Holy Scriptures that lead us from this life to glory. It's not some miracle. I have one more admonition here that you would not have unpleasant remembrances. I had 9 months to be right with my wife. You're not guaranteed that. I praise God that we were right. And the 9 months simply reinforced it. But I beg of you, if you are here this morning, and it could be any loved one, but it well could be your husband or it could be your wife, you know you're not truly loving them. You know you're not truly caring for them. And you know you have offended them and you're too proud to admit it. And you know there's a wall between you. Humble yourself and get it right while you can. It's hard enough. I cannot imagine what it would be like to go on and on and on in life and have that kind of a thing hanging over you where you know things were not taken care of. You do not want to look back with memories. You do not want to have that kind of remembrance haunting you the rest of your days on this earth. It could be a child. It could be the child to the parent. Remembrances that hurt forever because somebody is taken in death and you did not humble yourself and ask forgiveness and confess and be right with them. I was looking for something 2 days ago. I was actually looking for my Social Security card. I found it, but also found something else. My wife was artistic. She did various sketches with colored pencils, that kind of thing. But along with that artistic talent, she naturally included some calligraphy. I remember when she bought a brand new calligraphy set and was doing pieces of calligraphy. And when I was looking for things 2 days ago, I found some of her calligraphy. And I found a poem that she copied in calligraphy. And for a setting for this poem, I'd like to read Luke chapter 22, 63 to 65, and it goes along with the morning lesson. And the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him, and when they had blindfolded him, hang on to that, they blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, "Prophesy, who is it that smote thee?" Many other things blasphemously they spake against him. And so this poem that I found that my wife copied in calligraphy is entitled The Blindfold Christ. And I don't share many poems, but this one is choked full of meaning and is rich. Please listen closely to it. Blindfold he stands, whose glorious eyes had been the light of paradise, had pierced the night that lay upon the void at earth's primeval dawn, whose penetrating gaze could tell the highest heaven, the lowest hell, whose glance through though bound could deeply scan the inmost hidden heart of man. Blindfold he stands at mortal's will, while angels horror-struck are still, and devils tremble in their glee to see men sport with such as he. Blindfold he waits. Could men not stand the courage and the calm command, the love and the sorrow in those eyes that looked on sin without surprise? Thought they, by binding him that night, to hide themselves from his clear sight, to free themselves to sin unseen, and lust Almighty God demean? Ah, no! While still unformed of limb, their substance was not hid from him. And his the eye, when life is past, shall pierce each spirit through at last. The patient Christ still blindfold stands and suffers judgment at men's hands. Men think him bound by human power. Nor know he waits the final hour, when his the kingdom, his the voice, to bid depart ye or rejoice. O man, O blindfold man, arise! Dash death's dark bonds from off thine eyes. Hide thee no more from kingly grace, but gaze upon redemption's face. Low at his feet in homage fall, and crown the Savior, Lord of all.